You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And if you are listening to my voice, then count yourself among the blessed. For today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. I've got with my, I have a guest this morning whom I'm delighted to have on. I haven't talked with her a while on the radio, and I hope that she's feeling good this morning. She's meeting us in Adrian, Michigan. Is that correct, Sister? Sister Jamie Phelps, are you with us? Okay, well, we had her on briefly. Maybe she's having some technical difficulties, but my guest this morning is Sister Jamie Phelps. I think we're going to make sure that we get her back on the phone. We may have lost her. Let's see. Sister, are you there? Okay, no. All right, we're going to try and get her back on. But nonetheless, what is going on with this weather here? You know, I started to put on my mink jacket and a pair of shorts because I'm not sure what's going on. And I know that tomorrow, that would be today or tomorrow. I know that it was raining this morning, and yet this afternoon it might be sunny and 70. So you just never know here in Chicago, but I don't really care what happens with this weather. I enjoy it. Yesterday I wore a rain outfit, actually, and so it could have rained all day and it wouldn't matter to me. I think we have on the phone Sister Jamie. Sister, are you there? Oh, Lord, we're having all kind of difficulties. you there, Sister?
I'm here.
Okay, stop moving around. Stop moving around. That's how we lost you.
I'm sitting down at my desk.
Okay, good. All right. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, Sister, you know, you move around a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so where are you this morning? Are you in Adrian, Michigan?
Yes, I'm going to be in Adrian. This is our mother house is in Adrian, Michigan. We're Adrian Dominicans. And I've had a, what do you say, a surprise spell of illness, although I'm healing now.
Okay.
But I will basically be staying here because I have an episodic rare thing, but it's episodic. The last episode was 2 years ago, so I think I'll be able to work in between.
Well, I hope that you are able to work. You know, I guess it was almost about a year ago. I don't remember exactly when, but a group of deacon and deacon wives were together. We were actually having a meeting, and your name came up. And someone said, it's her birthday today. So,
listen, I do remember that call.
Do you remember? Yeah, remember we called you right from the meeting. And we sang happy birthday to you.
I do remember that. That
yeah.
Was great.
Well,
you know, extended family.
Sister, you know, that's just an indication of how many people really love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to love you, I guess.
Well, there are varied opinions on that.
Yeah.
But
My intention is to love. At this stage, at this age, I think there's only one rule, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. I love you. If we love, everything is taken care of.
Amen.
And it's not about whether people love you. God asks us to love others. And so I've gotten to that in my old age. And so I've even had some fun with people who don't like me loving them, because it's a conundrum.
You know, it's a wonderful thing to do, and it's a skill as well as a gift, you know, to
grace
love someone.
God.
Yes, by the grace of God.
Grace of God. Mm-hmm.
But it has to be intentional, amen?
Exactly.
And some of us really miss the boat on that. We really miss out on life by not loving, because it does such wonders for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it released the proper hormones and everything, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It, you know, because if that person doesn't love you back, my experience is that someone does. It's not always the person you love loving you.
Mm.
But God never, at least my experience is that you're never left, but God never leaves us alone.
Well,
that God wants us to love and be loved. And if we just hold up that part of love, I have no regrets for my long life at this point. I hope I have a little more time to go. My mother lived to 100, so I've got a few more years before I'm there. So, and it's been fun once I got there, once I got to that place. It took me a little time to get there.
But well, I'm glad to hear you got there, because I think that's really the best place to be, period.
Mm-hmm. By the grace of God.
Yes. Okay. So, sister, how old are you? Do you want
to share
that?
No,
you don't have to share. You don't have to share.
Absolutely. No, listen, my mother used to say old age was honorable. She lived to be 100.
Uh-huh.
I'm only 77.
Oh, my Lord. You're still young.
Well, compared to my mother, yes. But 70 is not young. It's seasoned. I tell God I've had a very good life, and I'm grateful. I have no complaints, and, you know, he can give me as many years as he wants or not.
And that's it right there. You let go and let God, you know. And you said earlier that, you know, God is with you and everything. And so his word says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we can always count on God to be there. You know, sister, I was looking at a social media, speaking of age, I was looking at a social media page just yesterday, and there was a couple, a black couple, who have been married 82 years.
Oh, my God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. And so the guy was 103, and his wife was 100, and they looked like they were probably in their 70s themselves.
Well, you know the old saying. Black don't crack.
Well, in that case, it played itself out. I mean, it sure looked that way.
But it's true. The melanin in our skin is an anti-aging factor. Mm. And if we don't have a major illness, or we don't destroy ourselves by foolish habits, we can live quite long, you know?
That's, you know.
But I also say we never die one day before the appointed time by God. So it's not in our hands always, but we need to do what we can health-wise and then just leave it to God.
Well, thank you for saying that, because since this Lenten season, or since the beginning of it, you know, I went on a fast and I feel so much better because of it. I had no idea, nor was I looking for the health benefits per se, but man, did I receive some.
Well, see?
Yeah.
That's an example. You were thinking, you were dreading the fasting and how you were going to suffer. And then instead of suffering, you're feeling better.
Listen to you.
Well, I'm just repeating what you told me.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, we're going to pause for a moment for a break, and we'll join you in a second, okay?
Fine.
Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Supich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Hi, my name is Mary Bielski, and I'm a national speaker and youth minister. And I'm excited to introduce you to our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II and address questions on themes like life, love, and human sexuality. Teens and young adults, please join us June 14th to the 20th at St. Xavier University for an amazing experience of prayer, fellowship, and tackling the deepest mysteries of life and love and even more. More information can be found on respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Again, that's 312-534-5355.
Okay, you're listening to WNDZ 750 AM, Catholic Chicago. And you may call us if you want to ask Sister a question at 312-255-8408. Sister, that's something that I hardly do is give out the number because we have such short time here talking, and I know I could talk to you all day. Yes.
And you could talk to you all day because I am an extrovert and I have lived for 77 years. And I've had great experiences in life.
I just love talking to you. You're just a, you know, you have a wealth of information and it's just fun talking to you. But Sister, you are considered obviously retired, but you're still a freelance theologian. And
correct.
You also have a doctorate in systematic, what is it?
Theology.
Theology, right?
Systematic theology, correct.
So what does that mean?
Well, systematic theology is just one of the many disciplines. It covers the areas of major themes within the church, God, Christ, church, grace. And it takes us into thinking about who God is in God's self and who God is in us. And we, you know, it's an expansion of what you learn when you learn the Ten Commandments, an expansion of what you've learned in the catechism. But it's constantly what we do is we look at human experience, and we're looking for signs of God's grace and presence in that human experience. And we wrestle with questions like, who is God? Who is God for us? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ for us? What is it to be a human being? That's the theological anthropology piece. What does it mean to be truly human from a Christian perspective? God, Christ, church, grace, history. We cover all of that broad range. It's a depth reflection on who God is in our lives and the lives of our community, our church, and our world.
Question.
Go ahead.
So how soon should one ponder that question? Or how soon is it that you start asking the question for, let's say, a young person?
Well, first of all, every human being asks that the essential, what we call the existential question.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Where am I going? What am I supposed to do? At some level, that question comes very early in life.
Mm-hmm.
It gets the responses gets broader and deeper. But that's part of me, even in psychology, we talk about that. How does that baby get to know who he or she is?
Yes.
How he is in relationship to people's responses and how their parents shape them in terms of values and relationships to other people. So it's an existential question. It's a question of existence.
Mm.
Who am I? What is my purpose? And where am I going? And depending on what kind of support they have in their family, in their parish, in their schools, in the church, people can find their way and they finally discover what their gifts are and why God created them, because I believe God created every person for a purpose and has gifted us. And we have to figure out what our gift is and what our purpose is. And when we discover that, we are happy.
Oh, Lord, now, yes. Yes, yes,
it's not just one thing, though. I mean, I've lived 77 years. I've done 1,000 things. But
right.
It's sort of like, how am I supposed to use the gifts that God has given me for the benefit of the community, for the benefit of the church, for
yes.
the benefit of the world? That's the Christian perspective.
Yes.
God, what do they say? Jesus was a man for others.
Mm.
We are supposed to be human beings for others. Our mothers and fathers were for us. We wouldn't have gotten where we were if our parents hadn't guided us, denied themselves sometimes for our education, for whatever they gave us, both personally and financially.
So, sister, you know, I'm so fortunate, and so are my siblings, to have two parents that have raised us. You know, with that knowledge of who God is. And I think that that question was asked of me, if not directly, you know, it certainly was incumbent upon me to kind of find my way and learn that. You know, I recall very early on sort of having thoughts of, you know, who I was and, you know, who God was and who he was
yeah.
to me. You know, and how he felt about me. I certainly knew that as a young kid, but I look at so many young people today and they don't even know God, let alone care to know.
And to some extent, we have to fault ourselves, both the church community and the civic community, and what has developed. We've developed into, for some reason, We've lost a sense of family and sense of community, have gotten caught up into individualism and narcissism. And if you're doing that, then if you're a parent, then you don't teach your child how to live. The family is the place where you teach the children and the members how to share, how to delay their gratification so that the other person can have what they need. The family is sort of the preschool for life in the community, in the church. The church is the second school, and then you move through while you're having your knowledge developed in school. And see, I hate to remind you, when the old folks used to tell me when I was a child, I used to say, "Oh my God!" But I'm at the stage now. I'm saying, when I was a child, when I was a child,
right?
I grew up in the west side of Chicago, and my parents were the senior parents, so they helped the next couple when their kids were coming. The couples would come, and my mother would counsel them. The whole block was an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
We had what we call play brothers and play sisters.
That's right.
The families knew that they could drop their kids off, because I had four siblings that were living with me at the time, and we all had peers, and their parents all knew they could
They could land in our yard, land in our apartment, our house,
right.
Land in on our front porch, and they would be safe.
Sister, let's hold that thought for a moment. We want to take another break, and then we'll come back and finish that thought, okay?
Fine.
All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fuselier from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Sister, you know, I am so thankful for the period and time that we were raised, because I like to believe, at least for my parents, they were raised, I believe, in the best of times. In other words, you know, they had some connection actually to slavery, you know, because of their great-grandparents. And yet they, you know, they came through the times of the Great Migration and the wonderful awakening of a black people who were just so talented. You know, we had so much talent and still do, of course. But just, you know, when we came north, you know, I'm thinking of Bronzeville, where I live now, all the wonderful musicians that came through there and all the wonderful athletes, you know, in that era. And then, you know, our parents got an opportunity to see a black president, you know, and to live in that era and to see all that they've seen, I'm like, man, that's just the best of times. And fortunately for me, too, I got a piece of that. But you don't see that. Those times are gone.
They don't have to be gone.
Right. I agree.
This is what our Christianity is about. We have to take seriously our Christianity. We have to take seriously we have to fight against individualism and narcissism. Mm. We have to fight against isolation. We have to fight against the fear of the other. We can reestablish our right relationships. I'm listening to your commercials from Catholic Charities, and I'm getting nostalgic because, I was a social worker, not into Catholic Charities. But, so I do that kind of thing. I did counseling and stuff. And see, that counseling that I did, I listened to teenagers. I listened to families. I helped them figure out what was going on in the family. And they found their own solutions. I was just a sounding board and sort of a good story. I listened to them, feedback to them, what they were saying, so they could hear it, and then we worked together to make a solution for their problem. So we have to take time to listen to each other.
Yes.
And Catholic Charities is a good place in those a lot of those agencies, although they're being stretched in terms of money, we need, if you need counseling, get it, you know?
Yes.
Don't be too proud to go and take your family to counseling or go individual counseling. If you're getting to a place and you can't figure it out and you're going around in circles, take the time out to go and get somebody to help you think it through. That's all basically what we did, is we helped you, we reflected back to you what you were saying so you could see it more clearly and help you, the client and their families, help them figure out how they could change what they were doing that wasn't working to other styles of relationships that did work. And that happened, that can happen in the church community, because I didn't work at Catholic Charities, but I worked at private agencies, and I certainly worked in the parish and through our Bible studies. That was another place. We went to Bible studies, and that Little Rock Scripture Program that we did, that was my part of my last things I was doing, was working in Bible study with my sister and two of our Southside parishes there. And it really helped, because people came together, they reflected on the Scripture, and they reflected on their life, and people became closer. That isolation and individualism was pushed back by our coming to know each other, not just as human beings, but know ourselves through the lens of that, of the gospel. And we could see how the gospel was speaking to our current situations. And it was, it really, the people who participated became more, really church, more church, because they knew each other, and they, not that they weren't doing it before, but it was at a deeper level once we started the Bible study. At least that's what they said in their evaluations.
Well, you know, and Bible study is extremely important. Just learning about God, and as you mentioned earlier, learning about oneself and what oneself is called to do in the, you know, scheme of things. But, you know, times are so different now. I mean, the families are so different now. We're a broken family. You know, we don't.
Yes.
It's a totally different, you know, outlook or, you know, reality when you look at what the family looks like today. It's not the same.
Okay, but who determines what the family's going to look like?
I don't know.
You do. Who determined what your family was going to look like?
Okay, well, you're right when you say that.
You determine what your God's grace is here with us. God gives us what we need.
Right.
But we have to take time to hear God. And God speaks to us through the circumstances of our life. God speaks to us through our positive friends. He speaks to us through our pastor and our the preachers and the people who work with us, through our Bible study. God speaks to us through the ordinary experiences of our life. But we have to take time and say, as I said, okay, God, what you trying to tell me? You know, and you take time and figure out what's going on in your life and why, what you're supposed to make out of it. Even in something like my getting sick, I hadn't been sick since I was a child. And at first, I would say, come on, God. I had to say to God, you've given me 76 years without any problems, so I can't really complain about getting sick, you know. I could hardly complain. But then I had to say and think about, okay, why did you get sick at this point? What are you supposed to learn from this? What do you do as a result of this? And it took time for me to think it through. And I think I know what I'm supposed to be doing at this next stage of my life. But if I hadn't stopped, and it was like out of the blue, you know. But I had to slow down, have the crisis, figure out what's going on. My family got closer to me. I had to be more accountable because I was out there doing my psychiatric social working, community organizing, doing all my ministries and stuff. But when I got sick, I had to come into more accountability with my congregation. I was filling out all the forms, but they came close to me. I had to come to the mother house for my rehabilitation and stuff. And so we were always in touch, but they had to be close up and personal. I had to be more.
Can you believe we have come to the end of our show?
I can't believe it, but that's okay. We were having a good time. Well, and I hope reflection has helped someone.
It did, I'm sure, sister. It certainly helped me. But I want you to come back so that we could talk about these steps and how we can, approach this situation that I think has gotten out of hand. A lot of people aren't hearing, that God is present. You know, a lot of children don't know God yet, and they're in high school. So we do need,
and this is easy for me. This might be how he slowed me down so I could be available.
Well, look, I'm going to talk to you, off base, and we'll get you back on, and we'll talk about some steps we can take as a church, okay?
We'll continue.
God love you, sister. Enjoy the rest of your day.
God bless you. Keep me in your prayers. You and the community in Chicago, which I miss, are in my prayers and my thoughts.
Thank you, sister. Bye-bye.
Who am I? What does it mean to love?